Your talk is about how the scriptures change us, and how they can just change anybody. How have the scriptures changed you?
I think I'd have to say that scriptures have changed me in a couple of ways. First of all, because when you get in the habit of doing something, then you feel like it is important, and you make time for it. And making time for reading the scriptures in the second way changed me, because then I can read what the prophets have to say, what the Savior has said, how I can make those a part of my life. Are there things in there that are so different from me that I have to ponder, why did this happen to these people, and what's the benefit to me? Or, yeah, this is really similar. I can see an advantage, because I could see me reacting the same way, or I could see me learning, or I could see me being the one who said, I don't think so, and walking away and then needing to learn. So I think in those two ways, one, in building a habit, and two, in understanding the wonderful words of the Savior and the prophets.
You say building a habit. Was it hard for you to build that habit?
I think I started reading the scriptures on a regular basis probably from seminary. You know, we have assignments you have to read in seminary, and you often read because that's the assignment. When I got older and got married, I felt more like I wanted to make this a part of my life, and so I used to read every night before I went to bed. And it got to the point where I couldn't go to sleep unless I'd read my scriptures. I do it a little differently now. After you have a family and you have a full-time job and you have different things, your schedules change. So the habit that I had to change of reading my scriptures before I went to bed, I either listen to them on CD in the car, or I study them when I'm having breakfast in the morning, or when I have a particular topic that I really want to know more about, rather than reading straight through, I search by topic and read. So I think maybe I'm still not as disciplined as I would like to be, but I try to incorporate it a little more frequently in my day.
In your talk, you mentioned one of your favorite stories from the scriptures, Alma and Amulek, and their relationship and their teaching. Besides that story, what other favorites do you have from the scriptures?
One of my other favorites in the Book of Mormon is Abish. I've always just really thought there was much more to that story about Abish than we read. Sometimes I think, well, Heavenly Father planted her there in that household so that when the time was right for her to recognize the Spirit, she could. And there were some downsides. The people thought that something bad had happened, and when she went out to tell them, she thought people would be so thrilled and excited that the king and his wife had recognized the gospel in their lives, and the people she told about it came in and thought that they had been killed. And so it kind of might have backfired a little on her, but she was able to keep a strong testimony based on a vision or a dream that her father had, and she kept that with her. We don't know how old she was, so we don't know how long ago her father had had that vision, but she kept that as part of her life and her beliefs, and when the time was right, she was prepared to share that with the queen and with the family.
And as far as we know, she was the only Lamanite member of the church.
In that, at least as far as what the scriptures tell us.
Yeah. As you were asked to do this devotional, you were called up, I guess. Did you immediately know the topic you were going to do?
No, I didn't. It took a couple of weeks, and as I thought about what I would say, I had to really spend some time praying and asking Heavenly Father, what should I say that would really make a difference, or at least that the students would feel was a benefit to them to spend time listening in devotional. And I jotted down ideas, and I jotted down stories, and when I read something in a talk or when I heard something, I'd jot down a little note. And after a few weeks, as I started looking at the things I'd written down, I realized that altogether they encompassed the miracle of the scriptures and how they could make a difference in our lives and how we could be changed by them. And So I think just that process of being open to whatever thoughts, whatever inspiration Heavenly Father chose to share with me, allowed me to choose and then to sort of see that, yes, there is a topic gelling together out of this.
What were your first impressions when you were called to give the devotional?
About a year ago, my boss had mentioned that I was on the approved devotional list. And I thought, oh yeah, my name will never come to the top, you know. So I really wasn't too worried about it. And then when Benjamin Yates contacted me about it, I was really surprised. And I said, well, can I take a couple of days to think about it? And I hope I didn't make him feel bad by asking for some time to ponder it. And I don't know what other people do, whether they immediately respond, but I just felt like I'm maybe not the right person to speak to the students about something inspirational. I don't work with I work with books in the library, and I work with a lot of secular things and academic things. And so I thought, do I really have anything that would be of help or of importance to the students? And after a couple of days, I thought, if Heavenly Father felt that there was something I could say, then I do not want to turn down that opportunity.
How has this opportunity changed you as you prepared this talk?
Well, made me feel a little more stressed. I think I did feel stress. Of course, I would imagine most anybody would, as you tried to gather your thoughts together and find the right things to say and pray about that and find out, should I include this? Should I not include that? I think, especially for the few weeks that I was really focused on writing and pulling those things together, I felt closer to Heavenly Father because I was so reliant on the inspiration, those little promptings that, yes, this is something that would be good to say, or it's up to you. I never did feel like words were being placed in my mouth, but I did feel that the things that I had prepared were acceptable.
Is there anything that you started to prepare that maybe didn't make it into the talk?
Yes, there were several things that I did not include. I really was impressed about the pioneers and immigrants and people who traveled around the world and the choices they had to make about the things that they would bring and the things they would leave home. And I've included some stories, some information about Lehi and about Mulek and about individuals who took the scriptures with them or didn't take the scriptures. But as I got to think about the pioneers and their choices and all of the things they could have brought with them, I had a number of little pieces of information about what the pioneers did bring and the value of those things and maybe choosing the scriptures over something else. And time constraints, just I felt like, well, these are things that, although interesting to me, maybe aren't really that important. And so it was easy to cut those out. Maybe not easy to cut them out because we love what we say. For some reason, when we write things, we think, oh, this sounds pretty good, and this sounds good too. So sometimes we find it hard to cut those out. But once I finished the talk, I didn't feel a bit bad about leaving some of that out. It was like, oh, yeah, that really didn't quite go there.
Is there anything that you learned that you'd like to share right here?
I mean, that I learned as I was preparing
yeah.
the talk? That Heavenly Father is not far away. He's very close to us. The Holy Ghost is there helping us to recognize that when we feel like we're not up to the task, Heavenly Father doesn't expect us to be perfect. He doesn't expect us to run faster than we need to. That He will help us create and participate and provide and to do what we can to the best of our ability. And that's good. And I think I recognized that and appreciated that reinforcement.
Lori, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to visit with you, Brandon.
Yep.